Saga Egmont presents The First Day of Eternity by Charles G. West, read by Jonathan Ahrens.
Chapter 1. Cody Hunter remained standing motionless for what seemed like many minutes, staring down at the engraved stone that seemed so out of place here in this wilderness. This was not the roughly carved names and dates left by emigrants and travelers so often found on these wagon roads. The persons responsible for memorializing this rugged-looking patch of scrubby weeds and bushes thought it worthy of a permanently engraved and polished gravestone. He was still in a mild state of shock as he read the gravestone again. The tragic attack had happened 15 years ago, but the stone had obviously been left here at a more recent date, judging by the condition of it. In loving memory of our father and mother, Robert and Rose Fraser, our brothers, Tim and Bobby, and their friend, Cody Hunter. 15 years had passed since the attack on the three wagons traveling the Mullen Road to Washington Territory, and Cody had only been 5 years old at the time, so his memory of the attack was vague at best. He remembered the sudden explosion of shooting, and his parents telling him to run to the lead wagon. He remembered he had been walking with Bobby Fraser when the shots first rang out. He and Bobby ran until Bobby suddenly fell. After that, there was nothing until he awoke one morning in a crow teepee to find an Indian woman smiling down at him. Her name was Morning Rain, wife of Spotted Pony. When Cody was well enough to understand, Morning Rain told him that Spotted Pony had found him under a bush after the attack on the three wagons. She told him about the wolf that was protecting him until he was found by the crow hunters. She also told him that Spotted Pony had found the bodies of his father and his brothers. Now, after so many years had passed, years that saw him accept Spotted Pony and Morning Rain as his parents, he is stunned to realize one of the bodies Spotted Pony found was not that of his father. He had said he found the body of a woman and a man. They were evidently Bobby Fraser's parents. The bodies of the two boys were those of Bobby and Tim Fraser. He remembered then that the Frasers also had two daughters. Looking at the tombstone again, he guessed that the daughters were responsible for its existence. At the moment, he wished he had never seen the stone. He had grown into manhood thinking his real parents were dead, and he was proud to be a Crow warrior. To learn now that his father and brothers might still be alive was more of a troubling nature to him. He could not deny a natural curiosity about them, but the contrast in their lives might be too much to overcome. Maybe best to leave things as they are, he decided, and push on westward.
Things happen for a reason, Storm, he announced to his big dun gelding as he climbed back up into the saddle. And it seems to me that I was supposed to walk the path of the crow. I've got no complaints.
He wheeled his horse around to follow the trail out of the Mullen Pass. Cody continued to follow the road down from the pass, just as his father had 15 years ago. It was supposed to lead him to Clark's Fork River. Although only 5 at the time, he remembered that the river would take them up a valley to a place called Hellgate Village. He remembered that he and his brothers had laughed at the name. He could only assume he would know the river when he reached it, for he was now traveling where he had never been before. Since he was in no particular hurry to reach Hellgate Village, he was inclined to keep an eye alert for any signs of deer activity. He had already decided to stop and make his camp if he discovered a good hunting spot, and he came to an obvious one when he approached a healthy stream making its way down from a tree-covered ridge north of the trail. When he reached the point where the road crossed the stream, he was gratified to discover a multitude of deer tracks going and coming on a path he assumed led to the river. There was no longer any decision to be made. He was ready to select a spot to camp for the night. If he had read the sign right, and he was confident that he had, then he should be able to take care of his needs for meat for quite a while. So he turned his attention toward the selection of a place to camp that would serve him for a few days while he butchered and smoked a quantity of deer meat to last him for some time. The camp he needed would have to provide grass and water for his horses for the few days he would spend there. So it only made sense to follow the stream to the river, camp beside the river, and hunt the game trail the deer followed to the river. That way, his camp would be far enough away from his hunting and not likely to scare the deer away. He was pleased to find the river was closer than he thought.